Well, we've been telling you about one of our favorite topics. There are a couple of topics that have been really at the forefront of our broadcasts over the last few months, and Emunah and Bitachon certainly one of them. If there's another, it would be Chesed. We have been emphasizing through both our Elul Tishrei Chesed initiative, through our Nisan Chesed initiative, which is coming up. It's right around the corner. And, of course, emphasizing Chesed all year round. The beauty and the simplicity, if you will, very often, I don't want to say it's all simple, it's not, but if you read this brand new book, you may get the impression that it's much simpler than you think, frankly. The book I'm referring to is called Living Chesed, Living Chesed, Powerful Stories and Insights to Bring Chesed into Our Everyday Lives. There are over 100 inspirational true stories. It's an Art Scrolls series release, a Makovsky Family Edition. When you go to artscroll.com, you know what we always say, make sure to use promo code radio for your free shipping and major discount. Promo code radio, free shipping and major discount. And we have an opportunity this morning to explore this world of Chesed and some of the amazing things that we need to do about, to know about and to implement into our own lives. With Rabbi Avram Usher Makovsky, who's the author of this brand new book, Living Chesed. Rabbi Makovsky, pleasure to welcome you to JM in the AM.
Yes, it's my pleasure to be here. Good morning.
Good morning to you. You know, I've had a, thank God many of us have had lives that, you know, where Chesed is important, where our parents, grandparents, and those around us, hopefully synagogue leaders, teachers, Rabbeim, etc., have emphasized the importance of Chesed. And this is something that I think most of us have been surrounded by, at least I hope so, our entire lives. But for me, at least, this came to the forefront because of an episode, actually an interview that I heard, where I heard someone describe the simplicity of doing Chesed, how it doesn't have to be with millions of dollars, it doesn't have to be with so much time, it doesn't have to be with a massive commitment, and that opened up my eyes to just how readily available Chesed opportunities are to me and others. Did you have an epiphany, an episode like that, which tossed the simplicity of doing Chesed into the forefront for you, or have you simply been surrounded by it, thank God, your entire life, and now you're simply telling us about it?
So maybe they're both true, but I will throw something out at you, which, you know, like when 9/11 happened, like they say, most people, when they heard about the news, remember where they were standing.
Right.
Remember where they were at that time.
Right.
So I want to tell you something fascinating that I mentioned this in the book even. I was driving, it happens to be, you know, I live in Lakewood. I was driving in Baltimore at the time, and I was listening to a cassette from Ramatisio Salman, the Mashkiach of Lakewood, who at that time was still in Gateshead. I shouldn't say that. Yes, yeah, he still was in Gateshead at that time.
Right.
Anyways, he said the following eye-opening thing. And whoever's listening to this, this is something that can literally, actually change your life. He said over, if you would ask somebody, what is the greatest way to perform the mitzvah of Chesed? We know the foundation of Chesed is whatever you would like someone to do to you, the Rambam says, then you should do that back to somebody else. That's what the mitzvah of Chesed is. Whatever you would like someone to do to you, do to someone else. So what's the ultimate way to fulfill the mitzvah of Chesed? So the Rambam says something earth-shattering. This is what I remember where I was driving when he said it. He says the Rambam says the greatest way to fulfill the mitzvah of Chesed is to give someone a compliment. That means that you tell your wife, you are a great mother. You are the greatest Baal Chesed. The Rambam says that that is the greatest way. And the reason why it's the greatest way is because since the basis of the mitzvah of Chesed is v'ahavta l'reicha kamecha, whatever you would like someone to do to you to do to someone else, the greatest thing that a person desires for himself is that people should recognize the goodness in them and think good of them. And therefore, if you show that you're recognizing the goodness in someone else, and you're complimenting that goodness, that's the greatest thing you would want someone to do to you. So that's the greatest thing you could do to someone else. So then with the mitzvah of chesed, you just compliment your wife, you compliment one of your workers, you compliment the radio host show and say you do the greatest radio show. These are all mitzvah in the title of chesed.
You know, what's remarkable is the way that person that you just described is viewed. How does the person's family member view them? How does the person's employees view them? How does the person's associates and those he comes in contact with during the day view him? And the answer, of course, is they'll have the greatest compliments for him, and they'll have such appreciation for, you know, what he says and does, as you just described. So it's remarkable how one embarks on the chesed that you just outlined for us, and at the same time, they are gaining such a reputation for friendliness, for camaraderie, for, you know, for all the goodness that one wants in a relationship.
And I'll share with you something that, when I was a bucher, many years ago, this goes back around 30 years ago, I complimented someone about something, and it happens to be, a little unfortunately, to say that it was a from lady. She heard me give a couple compliments, and she came over to me. This is a lady 25 years older than me. She says, "You should know I see that you like to compliment people." This is before I knew the Rambam. She says, "You don't know how happy you'll make your wife. So there's some compliments."
Wow.
And it seemed in the lady's voice that she was feeling bad for herself.
Wow. And by the way, as I've observed during life, for some people it comes easily. And I know that that's a tough word to use because nothing's really easy. But for some people, they are comfortable with doing what you just described, you know, showering people with compliments and nice things to say. And for others, not being critical, but it's a reality for others, husbands, fathers, you know, mothers, wives, etc. For some people, it just doesn't come as easily. It's not the way they grew up. It's not the environment they're used to. So if your words this morning inspire somebody, especially those who find it difficult to do what you just described, to go out of the box, to go out of their comfort zone, and to do what you just described, not only will it fulfill what you just said, but imagine the recipient who's not used to hearing it from them. Imagine how they're going to feel when they get that compliment.
That's an incredible observation. And I want to add something to that. I mentioned this in the book. How do we get into our system to be able to, people that say they're not used to giving compliments, how do we keep it inside ourselves and our brain to think about that, that I want to give compliments? And the answer is very simple. A person, the fact that, that's why I quote in the introduction, the Rambam in Hilchos Deis and Perek Vav Halacha Gimel, that says that this is the greatest way to fulfill the mitzvahs, say the raisa of the afterlecha kamecha, which is the source of the mitzvah of chesed, which means to say a person has to look at it, that every time I'm doing it, I'm fulfilling one of the tariag mitzvahs. I have an opportunity to put on tefillin. I have an opportunity to pick up a little of an esrik. That's what I am doing when I give a compliment. I am straightforward fulfilling a mitzvah, I say the raisa of chesed, which means to say that all the gemaras, the Chavetz Chaim goes on and on about this in Avos Chesed, that doing Chesed, put aside the mitzvah derayis a second, he says, there's no greater school for protection than Chesed. The Gemara says over and over, before Chevli Mashiach, that Rachman al-Latzlan will be a lot of tzaras in the world, the Gemara says the only way to be saved from all the things that goes on in Chevli Mashiach is to be Isaac in learning Torah and in doing Chesed. So people a lot of times say, well, I'm not part of Bnei Olam, and I'm not on Hatzalah, and I'm not part of Bikur Chaylam. How can I be safe from Chesed Mashiach and do Chesed? All you got to do is compliment your wife and compliment your employee, fellow, your employer, or your employee, or fellow employee, and there you got it. A compliment about Kyrian Shul that he lay nicely.
Yeah. It's so funny you just said that. I was saying to myself, imagine the Baal Tefila who gets a compliment from somebody. A lot of us roll our eyes and take it for granted, but you know, you're hitting a soft spot when you do that. You're encouraging them and you're making them feel really good. Hey, folks out there, next time your son davens for the Umbra, does a great job, think about what the compliment means. Next time your daughter picks you up from the train station and goes out of her way to do you a favor, think about what it means when you compliment her for going out of her way and making sure to take care of her parents. Oh, and there's so many more millions of examples, that's for sure. Rabbi Avram Asher Makovsky is with us live via telephone. The book is called Living Chesed, Powerful Stories and Insights to Bring Chesed into Our Everyday Lives, artscroll.com. By the way, I would argue, and I really hope that my friends in all the major organizations don't take this the wrong way, and they know how I feel about them, so I can't imagine they would take it the wrong way, and we've been the beneficiaries of these organizations for decades, so I don't mean here at the show, I mean personally. So believe me, I hope they understand where I'm coming from. I think sometimes it's harder to do chesed when you're part of a massive organization than in the way you described. Sometimes I think it's more difficult. It becomes habitual. It becomes rote. It's hard to maintain the right attitude sometimes. Again, not a criticism, just the reality of when one is involved on a day-to-day basis with those types of activities. So again, not condemning anybody, only praising them for being involved in the organizations that you just described.
Right.
But one shouldn't. But one shouldn't think that that's the ultimate. That's the end all and be all.
Can I add something to what you just said?
Sure.
Yeah. Somebody wrote a letter to a Jewish publication. I don't want to mention where, but a little while ago, before the book came out to print. And it really struck me how people just don't understand, like, what we were saying about how, like, the simple things are a mitzvah deraisa of chesed.
Right.
A lady wrote a letter complaining how people knock on her door. You know, he lived like in a complex of houses.
Right.
I need some chocolate chips for my cake. And then a half hour later, someone knocks on the door. They need some eggs. And she's complaining about it. And I'm thinking, like, the Pele Yoyet says that to give someone change of a coin.
When they need it. Right. When they need it, right.
Right. When someone needs change of a coin, someone asks you, can you change a coin for me? The Pele Yoyet says to give someone change of a coin is greater than opening the Aron Kodesh by Ne'ilah. He says because opening the Aron Kodesh by Ne'ilah is not one of the Taryag mitzvahs. It's a skula. He says if you were at a coffee machine and needed exact change only and you needed change, you would want someone to do it for you. So therefore, to change the coin for someone else, to do to someone what you would want someone to do to you, is a fulfillment of the mitzvah and the Torah of Yahavta L'Recha Kamaycha. So imagine someone's knocking on the door and saying, hello, can you open the door? I want to offer you Psicha by Ne'ilah. I'm knocking on the door. I want to offer you that someone will go 40 days and daven for you a Kever Rachel. I want to offer you a different skula. They're like coming and asking you to give them some chocolate chips. They're giving you something greater. They're giving you an opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of the rice of chesed. And I'll add one more thing to that.
Yeah.
The Zohar in Parshas Vayera says that if there's a midas hadin on someone, Rachman al-Litzlan, that some do some type of judgment on a person, if Hashem loves the person, he will send to their door a poor person or a person that needs chesed to their door so that if they take care of that chesed, that will take the din off of them.
So
here you have people knocking on the door. Hashem is sending to your door the mitzvah, the rice of chesed, to take all the dinim off of you, and the person's complaining.
So the next time someone knocks on my door for a cup of sugar, bottle of olive oil, an avocado, or something else, I better make sure to have a different attitude than I have now, frankly.
And I want to tell you something. When I'm speaking to this about my kids a lot at the Shabbos tables, one time one of our neighbors knocked on. They needed an extra bottle of soda, and we were short. We had exactly how many sodas. My girls ran up. We want to give away our soda. We want to give it away. We want the mitzvah.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Rabbi Avram Asher Makovsky is with us. Everybody out there, the book is called Living Chesed. Now, Rabbi Makovsky, it's rare, honestly. Full disclosure, it's rare I take notes when I read a book, very rare. But in this case, I'm reading through the stories that you're writing, and I'm saying to myself, you could categorize these stories, and I wrote down some of the categories, because everyone thinks that in order to do chesed, you have to give an inordinate large sum of money. And again, this is not directly from your book, but I could tell you, as I'm sure you'll agree, that a few dollars to the right person on an Erev Shabbos can change Shabbos for their entire family, can turn a very tense upcoming Shabbos into a very peaceful,
of course,
into a very peaceful, relaxing Shabbos. And I'm talking about, you know, $5, $10, $20. I'm not talking about, you know, going out there and giving someone $400 or $500. So that's number one, money. People need to realize that even a small amount of money can make such a difference for certain people and certain families out there. Then time, as you just described, everyone thinks you got to sacrifice a lot of time or spend, maybe sacrifice is the wrong word, spend a lot of time in order to do chesed. But you just proved that with one compliment that takes zero effort and 4 seconds, you're miyotze the mitzvah d'oraisa of doing chesed. Then what?
I'm unbelievable. In fact, when Matasio said it over, Matasio himself, from the rear tie, I heard him get so excited. He was literally like, he said, when you get up there, someone gets up there at a Shavuot Brachos and starts saying great things about a chassan, he's like saying, make sure to have in mind, you're about to fulfill the mitzvah d'oraisa of chesed.
Unbelievable. And by the way, I mean, look, you know, I'm so glad we're spending our time talking about these themes because they're so vital and so important. It's one of my favorite topics, as I told you. But there's so many stories in this book people need to go through. And I put on my slice of paper here the word consideration. And I marked two stories that you tell. One is an actual story of a Gadol B'Torah who insisted that the naming of the, I think it was a grandchild, it was either a grandchild or a Talmud, and you could tell the story, frankly.
You're talking about Reb Michael Birnbaum?
Correct. That, just remind me.
You say it. I love to hear the way you say things over. Let me hear you say it.
I'm gonna have to actually open up the book again because I don't remember who it was, but I do know that he insisted that the baby be named after somebody whose widow was still alive, as opposed to somebody who you might suspect from his family would be named after, because he felt terrible that this woman was alive and would not be able to enjoy the nachas, able to enjoy the satisfaction and the beauty of having a baby named for her late husband. So he insisted the naming go to somebody else. Is that correct?
Yes, of course. He said correct. Michael Birnbaum, in other words, I heard this from someone very close to the family, that he heard it from one of the grandchildren. After Michael Birnbaum, we all know people like to name after.
Sure.
If someone has a grandfather who's a great tzaddik,
sure,
especially the grandchildren, to name after, sure, that great tzaddik, yep, they want to do that. So it became very, everyone didn't know what was going on. People looking around, Reb Michael Birnbaum, who was a mashgiach and sifted Tiferes Yerushalayim under Reb Moshe Feinstein, after he passed away, he had a lot of grandchildren born, and none of them were getting his name. So somebody approached one of the children. He says, I said, pardon my asking, but you know, you have such a crush of a grandfather. It's once, twice, three times. No one, they're not giving out his name. So he said, he left in his will, Reb Michael, he said, of course, it means a lot to me that I should have a name after me. He says, but my wife is not alive anymore. Okay? So when you give my name, you're not making my almana happy because she's not alive.
You're not making her day, right?
You're not making her day. He says, but if there's any other grandparent that the grandfather's not alive and the grandmother still is alive, I want you to give the name for that other grandfather in order to make that almana happy, that she should see that the name of her husband is being carried on. He says, and that will be a much greater chus for me. That's a mitzvah d'oraisa of chesed that I'm getting when I'm in Shamayim.
So I put that under the consideration category. Can you imagine someone has a consideration like that for somebody else? That's just remarkable. And then there's one other category that I wrote down. I mean, I have a few here, but I'm not going to get to everything. But there's one category I wrote down that I wrote it under the category of sympathy. The unbelievable story you tell, and it's such a small, I got to be careful which word I use here, because as we sit at the Shabbos table, I would probably say to my kids how silly this is, but of course, I don't mean it in that vein. This Hatzalah leader is so concerned during the winter that the IV bags, and those of us who've had IVs, by the way, know exactly what this means. IV bags are going to be cold. They're sitting in the ambulance overnight. If someone has to go, you know, on a Hatzalah call, that IV liquid goes into someone's body. I can tell you from personal experience, it's going to be cold and uncomfortable. So they would bring the IV bags into the house at night so they'd be at room temperature if they had to go on a Hatzalah call. I mean, talk about sympathy and consideration. It takes genius just to think of that idea, Rabbi.
Yes, yes. I have to give credit where credit is due. That story you're saying is not one of my stories. That was written in the foreword by my dear friend, Rabbi Yitzchak Kitziger.
Well, I knew I heard it somewhere from the book, but it's pretty amazing.
Yes, yes, it's in the book. It's in the foreword in the book from him.
So, I mean, what would you... Sympathy, right? I mean, but don't you agree just to get to that madrega, just to get to that level of thinking like that?
That means that you walk around thinking, how can I help someone?
Right, exactly. Like, what will they be going through once the eventuality happens? And this is somebody, of course, who, you know, you might want to say to yourself, you know, I'm waking up in the middle of the night. I'm going to save this person's life. So I don't really, you know, the last thing on the list is to worry about the temperature of the IV bag. But, hey, what can I tell you? So what's your favorite story in this book? Or better yet, if I said to you which story of these 100-plus stories best exemplifies how anybody at any financial level, and as busy as they might be, and as speedy or as slow as they might be personality-wise, and as sympathetic or not sympathetic as they might be when it comes to considering other people, which story to you speaks the most about how easy it is to do chesed?
This is a very tough question because I have a, you know, I have a lot of stories that would fit that bill. You got to give me a few seconds. Like, you know, what I would, I will tell you something. Okay. You want to hear?
Sure.
At the end of the book, I don't know if you got up to there.
Yeah.
All the way at the end of the book, this is a very simple story, which again, even though we've discussed now a few minutes on the air about chesed, I still think this may come to a surprise to some people. Rev Shlaima Hyman, Zecherno Livracha, the legendary Rosh Hashiva of Tarev Das, one year on Erev Rosh Hashanah, called in a few Talmidim. He would like them to come into his house. Now, you can understand when these Talmidim are being called in by the Rosh Hashiva a few hours before Rosh Hashanah, they anticipated something major.
Yep.
something big before Rosh Hashanah.
Yep.
So Rav Shlaima Hyman asked them, but you got to hear the whole story because the people are going to think what it starts off.
Correct.
It's not going that direction. It's
Correct.
Not going that direction.
Correct.
So listen well. Rav Shlaima Hyman said, "Here, I have a bunch of Lashana Teva cards. I need someone to help me address them. Can you please help me address these cards?" So Rav Shlaima Hyman looked at the boys' faces. And he saw they looked a little bit like, you know, oh, this is what I'm doing now.
Right. Mundane activity. Right.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. So listen what Rav Shlaima told them. Shlaima said as follows. He said, listen, I'm busy now trying to fill out Lashana Teva cards a couple hours before Shoshana. Am I doing the right thing or not? I don't know. Maybe I'm doing the wrong thing. He says, listen well, even if I am doing the wrong thing, and I should not be busy doing this before Rosh Hashanah, but once I ask you, you got a mitzvah in the Torah, like putting on tefillin to help me. So it doesn't make a difference. I may be asking you something that's ridiculous. I may be asking you something that is not proper to do before Rosh Hashanah. But once another yid asks you to help them just to write some lines, you are getting a fulfilled mitzvah in the Torah of helping another yid, and what greater merit can you get before Rosh Hashanah? So even if what I'm doing is the wrong thing, once I ask you to help me, you're getting a fulfilled mitzvah deraisa of chesed.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
What do you say to that story? Isn't that amazing?
I love it. It's actually story number one. It's actually story number 100 for those of you who want to look it up. And it's amazing.
Okay. It's all the way at the end of the book. But meaning to say, that means to say that if somebody asks you, like, can you mail this letter for me an hour before Rosh Hashanah, you should jump and run. Wow, this could be the mitzvah deraisa that's tipping the scale for me.
Amazing. I am highly recommending it, Living Chesed, Powerful Stories and Insights to Bring Chesed into Our Everyday Lives. Or we have Rum Usher Makovsky. Go to artscroll.com. Make sure to use promo code radio for your free shipping and major discounts. Another one of these life-changing books, folks. You'll read it. You see how simple it is to get involved in doing Chesed for others. And by the way, half the time you're doing Chesed for others, you don't even realize you're doing Chesed for others if you do some of the things that you'll discover in these stories. By the way, Rabbi Makovsky, I got to ask you one last question. I know some people that are close to me are going to say, oh, what a typical Nachum Segal question. But why two S's in Chesed when we're used to writing it C-H-E-S-E-D? Any special reason, or the folks at Art Scroll felt that it would be appropriate?
Again, tell me if I heard the question right. You're asking why there's two S's?
Correct.
Yeah, okay. So we weren't sure. In other words, many years ago, I made a CD called Living Chesed.
Right.
That's actually, I spoke about these things on a CD with four shiurim, and there I spelled it with one S. That was actually the before I had any idea of making a book, people, Rabbi Hiziger, came over to me from our school and were like saying, the CD, you got to start putting this into print. You know, I didn't first take it seriously, but over there I spelled it with one S. But then I started seeing a lot of people spell it with two S's. And then I spoke with my editor, and everyone seemed to feel it's just nicer with two S's.
Interesting. I could spend the next half hour on this topic, but I will spare you. What a delight to speak with you. Hatzlacha Rabba on the book. I really do think it's a life changer, and I hope everybody out there gets it and enjoys it as much as I have. It's just it's such an important topic these days. And like I said, you described just how simple a scenario one can implement into their own lives when it comes to doing chesed for others. And that's much appreciated. I think this lesson needs to be taught.
And let's not forget that Chazal tell us in the Maran Sanhedrin, that this is the only way to be safe from Chavli Mashiach, is to be constantly doing chesed. So we just got to put our minds to it, to compliment, give people rides, you know, do what we can, give out chocolate chips when someone knocks on your door, stock up on some extra eggs, and then we'll be safe from Chavli Mashiach.
Do you know, when I was 18 years old, a friend of mine, whose birthday happens to be tomorrow, a friend of mine around the same age said to me, wouldn't it be better if we just got into our cars, went to a Jewish neighborhood, and gave people rides up and down the block?
Amazing.
And of course, then we got into a philosophical discussion about what you're supposed to accomplish in life and other things you should be doing at the same time, etc. But as silly as that discussion was, I see there was some merit to that discussion. You know, it's funny.
Yeah. Once you're saying that, can I add something to that?
Sure. Hurry. Go ahead.
I want to add something to that.
Yeah.
In other words, I once heard somebody say, if you're going somewhere and you ask someone, can you give me a ride? So a lot of times the person will say, okay, if I'm going in that direction, okay, so then I'll do it. If I'm going the other direction, like, why in the world would I, you know, a lot of people don't enter their mind, I'm going the other way. But if a person realizes that it's a mitzvah d'oraisa to give someone a ride, so you're not obligated. Your wife may be waiting for you, your kid's waiting to learn with you.
Right.
You're not always obligated to do that.
Right.
But at least it should play in your head, you know, I'm going home, I had Sunday afternoon, I'm not in a rush to do anything, and I have an opportunity to do a mitzvah in the Torah of Chesed and drive someone a few blocks. They should realize that.
Phenomenal. Ken, thank you enough for joining us this morning. Thank you so much, and again, good luck with the book.
I'll end with this. Now I see why you're a popular radio host. You're a lot of fun.
Thank you.
You're enjoyable.
Thank you. I appreciate that very, very much. Rabbi Avraham Asher Makovsky. The book is called Living Chesed. Go to artscroll.com and do yourself and your kids a favor. Get them the book and tell them to start reading it. Rabbi, I look forward to meeting you one day. This topic is close to my heart. We got to keep spreading the word.
Okay, excellent. I enjoy being on your show.
Thank you so much. Rabbi Avraham Asher Makovsky on a Tuesday morning broadcast here at JM in the AM.